Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for victory. Father, we thank you because victory is ours.
Amen.
Father, we thank you because this nation belongs to us.
Amen.
We thank you because the plan of the enemy shall not stand in this nation.
Amen.
We thank you because dominion belongs to us.
Amen.
And it shall cannot be wrestled away from us.
Amen.
Father, we thank you because anything that is done by the leaders of this nation that is not sanctioned by us cannot stand in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because dominion is ours in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. We shall not be dominated in our nation.
Amen.
We shall not be subservient in our nation.
Amen.
We shall be salt of this nation.
Amen.
And a city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden.
Amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we've been set on a hill.
Amen.
And we shall stand on that hill and our light shall shine for all this nation
Amen.
To see. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because the light of Jesus shines in this nation.
Amen.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, because it is set. It has been set that the light of us stands on the hill and cannot be hidden.
Amen.
And all will look upon it and know that Jesus Christ is Lord in this nation.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you know, this week, the Indian Prime Minister was here, and he shows just how empty and bankrupt our political leaders are. That's what he was here to show. Eh? Empty, bankrupt, totally empty, spiritually empty. People, winds that carry no water. That's what the Bible calls them. So the man comes here, rolls in here on his way to South Africa for the BRICS conference. And he's not here for a state visit. He's here to establish the dominion of Indians over this land. And then they go and get prime land in Jinja. And then they say they are going to build a memorial for Gandhi. Who is Gandhi to Uganda? Why don't they build memorials for Gandhi in India? And then he goes there with the president, and they even takes off his hat and bows down. Now, making Uganda subservient to India. Now, then you wonder why they will come here and want to dominate businesses and things like that, when your president has basically handed them over and made you, you know. Then he goes and gives some $200 million in parliament, and it's a big deal. And cows. I don't know, first of all, he's even a Hindu. Are we supposed to worship the cows he gave us or what? You see, when a nation has been trampled down, we have to pray for our nation. Praise the Lord. Because we can be here and talk dominion, but with people like that leading us, there is no dominion. Amen? It has to start by us exercising dominion over our own politics. So it shows us you're a complete beggar nation. A complete beggar nation. It is shown in the newspapers, in every aspect of what we are. If somebody came and gave Uganda $10 million, it will be $10 million. It will be a front page headline. There are hotel rooms in some places which cost two nights. You spend $10 million in a hotel room. But somebody comes and gives Uganda, a nation, a state, $10 million, it will be front page headline. But if somebody, let's say at Makerere University, goes and invents something new which we can be excited, no, nobody would even give it time. Actually, we'll blast them. What makes news is when somebody gives us money. Do you see how we have become a beggar nation? Where you don't believe in anything of yourself. $200 million a nation, and the guy comes, and then what? Statue of Gandhi. Who is Gandhi to Uganda? Of what importance is it to us? Why is the source of the Nile full of statues of Gandhi and what? Our biggest, or would be biggest, tourism things, Gandhi. because he came for media and visited here once. So somehow everything, we hand it over to him. Why isn't it called after? Don't we have Ugandan heroes? You see, something has to change in this nation. And we are going to be the salt of this nation. Praise the Lord. We are going to be the salt of this nation. We just cannot continue. If you didn't know spiritual things, you'd stand and say, it's a shame being a Ugandan. But of course it is not. Amen? Because we are going to exercise dominion. Charity begins at home. So we are going to start in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Because the things that happen here are things which are so humbling for anybody who has the view that the Lord is giving us right now of what he intends for us to do in this land. Praise the Lord. So the guy comes here. First of all, he's a very demonic guy. Deep into, I told you that, how even he goes to the World Economic Forum with his guys. He's the guy who was talking about how he took this guy who died, Steve Jobs, to his guru, to teach him how to make money. Now, and he's not coming here as a head of state. Although because he's a head of state, somehow it's always a state visit. You know, if you're head of state, you don't just visit a country. That's not how it is. Right now, if I wanted to go to America, I would just go. But if I was the president of Uganda, I have to first ask for permission to be there. And the American government has to guarantee that they are going to be in charge of my security while I'm there. If I'm the head of state, I don't just go. So even if my reasons of going, I have a girlfriend there, it is a state visit. Do you understand? Whatever your reasons, even if you have some deals you're going to do there, if you're the head of state and you're going to your country, it's a state visit. Because if they don't want you to come, they would say, we cannot guarantee your security. That means don't come to our country. But if they accept, they have to be in charge of your security while you're there until you leave. Because no nation will allow that a foreign head of state comes and gets harmed in your country. That is diplomatic disaster. Anyhow, so the guy comes here, meets the Indian committee. That was the real reason. This whole parliament and what was like, you know, a president here going to his girlfriend. Then he goes and he guard of honor, yet for him he's thinking about his girlfriend. Then he's waiting for that to finish. Then he goes and meets her. You understand? So now all this, the man had come to establish dominion here over those guys to come because they are losing it. Amen? Now he had come to try and re-establish it. But the trouble is that the scripture says it is not good for wicked men to rule over righteous people. Because we have an instance where the Israel Prime Minister comes here and it is an opportunity for us to open an embassy here, and that would put us on a fast track of God's development system. The embassy was closed in 1972, the same time the Ugandan economy started going down. Now, the guy comes here for his personal reasons. His brother, what, died in Entebbe 40 years, you know that. Now, that's an opportunity for us to open an embassy and do something serious. But the president stands there and says, the people of Palestine, you cannot even recognize that Israel is a nation which exists. And the prime minister is right there. And then he offers himself to be the mediator between Israel and Palestine. But who does he think he is? The Antichrist? But when a wicked Indian leader comes here, he's all over the place. Then he even takes off his kofi and bows down to the statue. It is not good for a righteous person, for righteous people to be ruled over by a wicked person. That's what the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so that's why we have to pray. We have to pray for our nation. We have to pray because there are so many things here which decisions are made and they are going to determine our quality of life. Okay? They are going to determine, I showed you the other time, they are going to determine even the climate we have. Okay? Even the things that are happening in the world right now, which do not affect us, and some of you don't even know them, because somehow we have a spiritual cover that will not permit some of these things to come. Things which people call natural, whatever, disasters. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, also today, actually, about now. Eh? You see that moon? Eh? We can't see it here very well, but it's a full blood moon, and it's a rare occurrence which will next happen in the year 22 something. Okay? That thing you're seeing there, you can see it with blank eyes. Eh? It's okay. With naked eyes, that is. But there is an alignment today of the earth, the sun, then Mars, and the earth in one straight line. And it is causing a complete lunar eclipse across places of the Middle East. Here we are only seeing a bit of it. You see that red around the moon? Eh? We are seeing just a bit of it. But it's the longest. It's the longest this century. It's because it's going to last in the peak places about 6 hours and something. Usually it takes a very short time, then it shifts. But now this one is going to last very long. And that's the best we are going to see, I believe. But in places of West Africa, North Africa, Europe, the Middle East, it will be complete red, complete red moon. Okay? And that's amazing. You see, because it's not always that you see those two planets, the Earth and Mars, lined straight from the sun. You know the way they are. The sun here, all of them orbiting around the sun, but different orbits. So they move, then now Mars and Earth are in straight line from the sun. All of us, all of these continents orbiting the sun. Now, the moon is... You see, the moon looks the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, okay? But it is also 400 times farther away from the moon. That's why they look the same size. Do you understand? So the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, but the moon is 400 times nearer to us. That's why when you look at them, if you look at the sun, they look the same, but they are completely different. But now the alignment, this alignment causes a blood moon, which I don't know. So many people are thinking whatever it is, it's supposed to signify. But I know that the world is going through a shift right now, which very few people are recognizing, but which is so evident in the news. Even now when I was seated somewhere, I was seeing the news, and every single thing is about natural occurrences or climate occurrences. Every bit of news. And it's not usual. Nothing like this has happened before. And you see, people don't recognize that. You can be here because it does not affect you. You're going to live here, go somewhere, go home and do whatever you're going to do. And it does not affect your life. But you do not realize that there is across the world, there is a shift. And it's affecting people's lives. And it is a sign of things to come. But then you miss it. Just like so many times people miss things. But some people will see them. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, there's talk among, especially among the Jewish people, that a lunar eclipse is a sign of a warning or judgment for the nation of Israel. Or the Jews. Not the nation of Israel, the Jews. And a solar eclipse is a sign for a warning for the Gentiles. That has been there among the Jewish scholars for so many years. Now, whether or not it's true is a different issue. But we know that the scripture says, God said that he made the sun and the moon for signs and for seasons. Okay? Where is that in Genesis chapter 1 verse what? 14, I think. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night, and let them be for signs and seasons. And for the days and years. It does not just say days and years. It says for signs and seasons. So you see when here it shifts from one year to another. And God gives you a word for 2018. And then some carnal people come and say that. You know, people are deceiving you. 2018 is going to be a year of this. It's just going to be another. Still going to become day and night and day and night and day and night. What's the difference? That's rubbish. Because we don't just count years. You see, he put all these things when it's day and night. So he says his masses are new every morning. He did not say every 24 hours. Okay, he says every morning. Now, So let them be for signs and seasons. Now, all these things follow after seasons. Because when you look, actually, so many times historically, especially these eclipses, which is not to say that... how many times are we ever going to have a Watchman Fellowship talking about cosmic signs, and you can actually look at the moon and it has... What are the chances of that have happening again? When I can say, look at it, not showing you a picture here, but saying, look, and you see now it's disappearing. Your chance has gone. So this whole thing, the myth, in myth in back bracket, because a lot of these things can actually be traced somewhere. But the myth about solar eclipses or eclipses generally and affecting events on the earth is not one that is held, is one that has been held for, you know, thousands of years, actually. It has been held for a very long time. And when the best viewing place for an eclipse was here in Uganda, do you have any idea how many celebrities came here? They did not announce themselves. Top Hollywood stars, top, but they came here just to view the eclipse. Why? Because it is for them a spiritual thing, you understand? They came, they were in Pakwach, here in Uganda. They came, nobody knew them. They landed here incognito and they just went to Pakwach because for them there was some worship attached to it. Top Hollywood stars of, you know, people from Scientology and what, all those things. They were here. Okay? Now you only have to talk to very top people who are in maybe tour and what, who knew about it. But all of it was secret and they came and went to the rural, most rural place in Pakwach just to look at it and, you know, worship. Because there are so many people who worship those things. Okay, now, so, but in the days of Jonah in the Bible, when Jonah went and preached to Nineveh and told them yet 40 days and the city is going to be destroyed, history says that at the time he went there, there had just been a solar eclipse. And then there had been so many plagues in the city. So the people of the city were wicked. But they knew something was going to happen. That's what made Jonah's preaching very... that's why they easily believed Jonah when he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. That's not in the Bible, but historically they say it's about 763 BC when that happened. So they said, they looked around and they said something is about to happen because there's the eclipse, then there are plagues all over. Then suddenly this man comes and says, 40 days... and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. So they believed him and they repented. And they turned away from their wicked ways. And the scripture says, it does not say that explicitly, but it says, that kingdom survived for 120 years. Because Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Very big, very prosperous, very wicked. But they all repented. And apparently, and I cannot give you this as ironclad truth, but apparently, not only because of the words of Jonah. Okay, now it's interesting that when the Pharisees come and ask Jesus for a sign, he tells them no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah. Okay, of course he goes ahead to say that just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so will the Son of Man. Now that talking about him, but the belly of the fish is not actually a fish. Jonah died. He was dead. If you read there, he went to down the belly of the earth where... that's where he was, and he was spat out from there. Now, of course, there's a lot of figure of speech in the scripture, but Jesus said he like Jonah, will be there down for 3 days. Then he will come up. Now, so if those people actually believed those things... Now, in the Babylonian Empire, throughout the period of Babylon, the eclipses were considered to be very sacred, that they said every time they saw a solar eclipse, they knew their king is going to die. So they were so sure about it that they would actually get an auxiliary king and put him on the throne for the period of the eclipse and a short time afterwards, then the real king comes back on afterwards. So that if there's any death, it's not the other king. It is this one. So they get some kind of sacrificial lamb to put on the throne. I don't know if some of them died, but I know they used to do that because they always saw these eclipses as signs of... signs of things to come. So, but then there are also other things which you look at and you say, okay, even without going to the lunar eclipse and Israel, There was an eclipse around Eastern Europe, a solar eclipse around Eastern Europe, at about the time the First World War broke out, from around there, in 1914. And then, there was, in 1918 when it ended, there was a solar eclipse around America, and around that place there was a plague which came and killed close to 700,000 people. Actually, about 675,000 people. But it wasn't just there. Across the world, it killed over 50 million people. 1918. And others. Okay. But now let's look at this. When Jesus was born, there were movements in the heavens, and the planets aligned themselves in a way that they came so close. By the way, this is the closest Mars will ever come, the planet of Mars. That's why, you know, apparently it has come very close. As the closest is going to come, and what? Go and read those things on those people who have a lot of knowledge, but very little wisdom. But the people from the east, the Magi from the east, knew enough to know that when you see these planets aligning themselves in a certain way, a king is being born. So imagine, they didn't know. They were not Jews. They were not Pharisees. They were not, you know, scholars of biblical history or of the Torah or things like that. But they knew that when we see this thing happening like this, and this star moving, what they call a star, we know that there is a king being born somewhere. And they moved all the way from somewhere around Persia, way past Persia, and they walked following the star until it came where the king was being born. And so they got to know that there was a king being born just by using signs. And you see now, the scripture has always intended for us to do these things, to use signs to know that something is about to happen. There is, that the world around us is shifting, you see. And Joel chapter 2 and verse 30, first start from verse 28. Okay. And shall come to us after that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Okay. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Now we know these are those days, okay? That's why if you're not dreaming, if you don't dream, if you go to a place where you dream something and they tell you don't follow dreams, just leave. Okay? There are so many places. Somebody dreams and goes to their man of God, I dreamt this, and say, for us we are past dreams. Nobody is past dreams. You are going to get lost, because people are trying to shut down your spirituality. Amen? And the connection you have, if you, for most everybody, even the youngest of believers, the connection you have to being led by the Lord. So now the time of dreams, visions, prophesying, you cannot run away from it. It is now. And now even everybody, regardless of what your calling is, you have to prophesy, you have to have dreams and what? Because this is the era of that. So even if you're a pastor, an evangelist, everybody has to prophesy and dream dreams. Amen? So now that time is now. Okay, then. I'll pour out my spirit on those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens. You see how it follows the other, eh? And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. Now, we are in that time. Now, when it says fires and smoke and what? What do you think it means? Where are the fires going to be? Are the fires going to be in the moon? It's back. Or are they going to be on the sun? Eh? Where are the fires going to be? Where? Okay. And where is the smoke? And the, what else? Okay, the blood moon we know is the moon. Blood. Red. That's what it's called. But then it says roaring of seas. Fires, smoke, men's heart fail them for fear of the things to come. Where are these things happening, and when are they happening? Eh? Where are they happening, and when are they happening? That's the question. Eh? Okay. Now, I want us to dim the pictures and I show you some things, because you, you people don't read the news. Eh? There is something which is happening which is bigger than you think. Can you see that? Now, this was taken this week. In Greece, people running to the ocean from fires. This was in the news this week. Now, this is real apocalyptic. You think this is a joke? This is apocalypse. People running away for their lives. Now, if you go and see the pictures, more than 80 people have been roasted alive. some of them in their cars, some of elderly people in their homes, some of them children. I was seeing a picture of a man, I mean on news, footage of a man who was saying that I just grabbed my baby and ran towards the ocean. And he was saying, because his English wasn't that good, so I'm sure, he said, and my wife was roasted in the fire. And it was very sad, but true. Now look at this. Behind a whole place of where tourists go, a huge place burnt down completely, and 80 people are the bodies they found. You know, they until they find the body, they don't count. So it's obviously going to go a lot higher because they are still looking for bodies. So there are more than 80 bodies found, cars melted, of course, houses completely razed, and what? This is in Greece. Okay? This is Australia. We are talking about 100,000 hectares of burnt down. I'm talking about between in the last 1 month. 1 month, this summer. Okay? Let's go ahead. The next one is what? California. Look at this. These are very expensive places along the beach of rich people. Burnt down, razed. You see that fire there at the background? It razed all these houses. It's. Go ahead and show us. The next. Now, this is the map of America. I'm not sure you can see it well. But you see, that's the fire map of America. Because it's not just California. It is Oregon. It is Oklahoma. It is Colorado. It is about 4 or 5 states in America with extremely dangerous wildfires in the west, towards the west coast, this side. All this has been happening in the last 1 month. Okay? Go ahead. But you missed it because you don't, you know. Now Greece. Okay, another picture of Greece. The other one. This is hell. Eh? Okay? Greece has been terrible, by the way. It's been the most devastating. Now, this is Greece after the fire. That place. All these were now very expensive holiday places where tourists go. And now the thing is, the locals, if you're a tourist and you didn't find somebody to point you to where the ocean is, people were running towards the fire, thinking they are running away from it. Then they reach where the fire is, then they turn around, and there is fire here, and they are caught in the middle. That's how so many of them died. So many of them died in their cars. And what? And this is happening around us now. Now, go ahead. Now, this is Hawaii, the American state of Hawaii. A volcano erupted. You remember it, a few months ago. And the lava was flowing. Now, this is real apocalypse. This is apocalyptic stuff happening now, but you see, somehow, the news cover, everything goes on. You see how, when the Lord returns, and you start seeing things from the spiritual point of view, you will see and say that the signs were there, but we just somehow missed them. Because they were there. Just like the signs of Jesus' first return were there, but the people who were supposed to know them missed them. But then there are some wise or magi from the east, who for them they just follow a star and they realize there is a king being born here. Now, whereas the people who were supposedly waiting for the Messiah missed it because they are busy. I don't know doing what. This is now, this is Hawaii. But by the way, this was bad. Look at this. Look at that. And now, the fact that those cars are there means it actually erupted suddenly because nobody would want to be there with his car there when this is going to happen. Because if it gets you, it roasts, it smelts you. So people were running. This was Hawaii in the month of, I think, March, April. So this was the Hawaii volcano. All this is happening now. Now meaning generally. Okay, go ahead. Italy. Go ahead. Sweden. Proceed. Australia. Now, Australia, after the fires came floods. Now all these have been happening. Now look at this. Okay, Japan. Next, Japan. This is still Japan. Floods. Look at this. Worst world fires in the world this century. That's according to Yahoo News. The worst world fires in the world this century. Okay? So shall we say that the signs were not there, which Jesus said? Just because they are not in Chiwatule where you stay, doesn't mean they are not there. Because they are quite, they are there all over the world. Go ahead and let's, are there any more pictures? Now I read this and I even laughed. In Queensland, after the floods came, now residents were running away because crocodiles came with the floods. You come out and the crocodile is there, waiting to greet you. Crocodile is the latest danger for Australia flood towns. Okay? I think those are, that's all. Is that all? Okay. So, the worst heat wave this summer, 2018. Okay? Worst heat wave, 2018. The highest, some of the highest temperatures recorded in places. Places like Japan have broken records for temperatures ever recorded this year. Across Europe, across America, of course the fires are caused by extreme heat. And it has all been recorded this year, this summer, the time in which we are living. The worst wildfires in a century this year. Floods this year. So fires come. Now landslides, I couldn't get some of the pictures. Landslides, because there is a hill which has trees and which has vegetation. So the fires first come and burn the vegetation. Then when the rain comes, there is no vegetation to hold back the mud, so there are mudslides. So villages are buried in mud. And all this is happening right now. And is it, how can something be so bad in such a year? The 70th year of Israel's formation. The year of, you know, after all these, eclipses and so on. Eh? And whatever. So I'm not saying one is, but you see, we have to watch, and because you cannot say that this is, of course, people, you cannot say this is just usual climate. It is not. It cannot be. And this was spoken of by Jesus. Matthew 24. When he talked about the earth and everything about climate. Now, even earthquakes, even lightnings, all those things which the Bible uses as a sign, but because we've come to know them, we somehow think that's just the way the earth is. No, it is not. But the Bible uses them as a sign of things to come, lightnings, thunder, okay? And you know the scripture says, I told you the other time when the previous pope abdicated his throne, on the day he announced that he was leaving, there was a lightning strike that struck on top, right at the top of the thing of St. Peter's Basilica, the cathedral in the Vatican. Right at the top, there was a lightning rod. And I showed you those pictures, didn't I? Yes. On the day he announced. Then, on the day the American Supreme Court, around that time, legalized same-sex marriage, there was a lightning strike on that obelisk up there in front of Washington, in front of Capitol Hill. And the lightning comes right at the top and is captured in a picture. And so many other times, by the way. On the day that the Vatican Council, about 150 years ago, passed the doctrine of the Pope being infallible. That is, that the Pope is like Jesus. He cannot do anything wrong. He's like God. There was another lightning strike on St. Peter's Basilica. But you see, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall down like lightning. You remember that scripture? But you see, he says it and you just run over it because you think it's just lightning. It's going to rain lightning. No, but it is not. Because it is used as a Bible sign and you can just skip it and say, you know. And then even his own coming, he says, as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man. Now, then when you go to Revelation 6 verse 12, I looked and he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Now you see, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and moon, and we've seen all this, like blood. And the stars of the heaven fell to the ground, to the earth, as a fig tree drops its figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. The sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Okay? Now, lightning, thunder, great earthquake. Everywhere, everything, his coming, lightning, thunder, his second return, when he comes to the earth, it comes like lightning and thunder, okay, with lightning and thunder.
Let me read another scripture which shows you. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those who were with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was a sign of God. Now every single change of a time period in the scripture is characterized by lightning, earthquake, thunder, blood moons, things which we've come to take as natural, yet actually they are signifying something. Now you see these men, they saw the earthquake, they saw the rock split, and they said this was not an ordinary man who has just died. A few minutes ago, they were mocking him and casting lots for his veil. But when they saw this at his death, they realized this was not an ordinary man. Now, even the people who are standing at a distance, who were mocking him, said this is not an ordinary man. Praise the Lord. Now, this is not an ordinary period in which we are living. And if it passes you by, those are yours. But the truth is, when I study it, go today, I challenge you, go today and listen to the news. Three quarters of it is about natural disasters all over the world of some kind. I don't know why 2018, but there's not been a year like this. You saw the headline yourself. There's not been a year like this. And now these are the things which Jesus spoke about. But you see, people wait. They come and say, show us a sign. There was a sign when he was born. There was a sign when he died. There has been signs ever since. Every time there's a change of period in the heavenlies, there have been signs for Israel. There have been signs for the Gentiles. And the signs, if we do not see them, it is our issue. But they are there. And there has not been a period such as 2012 to now, when the signs are so many. So many. Praise the Lord. So now, that means that we have a responsibility, number one, to go and warn the people of the world that the things are happening in their backyard, but they don't know. That just because it does not affect you and how you're living your life doesn't mean it's not happening in the world. Because it is. Everything, the earth will rust. You know, I read for you the other time the scripture of how the sun scorched people and they blasphemed against God. Happening now. Do you know a time of hundreds of people dying out of heat because of the heat? Now, elderly people, sickly, weak people, the heat. And then I also read, incredibly, that the number of suicides increases with the heat. So for every extra 1 degree centigrade, there are a certain number of extra suicides. That is scientific research, not written by people with wisdom, written by people with knowledge. You understand? It was in the news. Heat wave linked to suicide. So people become depressed. It's so hot and what, and they just kill themselves. Actually, they said the suicides that are result from heat are either just as much or even more than those that result from economic recession. So guys, we have they just say, we're out of here. Now, the Lord, go back to Matthew 24. Let's say something. Of course, these are things which you read so many times that even when they happen, even when somebody reads them, they don't sound new. But yet actually, they are very profound for the time in which we are living. Start from verse 6. And you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now you see, can somebody who is born today feel that news about an impending war is news at all? We are so used to it, do you understand? But now if somebody who lived in 1920 or let's say, okay, 1910 before the First World War. Because until the 20th century, there's not a single war that had killed as many as 1 million people. All of them were simple, small wars. Now, somebody who lived that time and comes and the news is all about war. You know, Syria, there's an impending war. The people are fighting in Nigeria, Boko Haram and what? People are fighting here, people are fighting where? North Korea at this moment, everybody is preparing for war. The amount of preparation for war that is going on right now. Now, even the things which, what Trump called the war games, which were taking place in South Korea, trying to scare North Korea from using their nuclear weapons. The amount of tests that were done, I mean, very, very sophisticated things which were happening there, but they are not news to us because we are used to them. Do you understand? It's like the way a Ugandan, you tell him there was corruption and he says, tell me something else. But there are societies where corruption is news. But for you, it's not news. Actually, if there is no corruption, that's news. So, but you see, Jesus is saying these things from the place of people are generally living in peace. Even by the time the Second World War started, even the few years that had joined between the First and the Second World War, everybody is in peace. There is no, you know, time of prosperity. Okay, there was a great, you know, people are recovering and what? Then suddenly the war. And it comes and it finds them totally unprepared. Because now, wars and rumors of wars. Now, the news. Okay, let me tell you. Honduras. The nation of Honduras. Complete mess. People don't want a president. Riots, shootings, killings, school children. Venezuela. But I can mention like 10 countries which are in complete turmoil. And it is no longer news to us because we are used to it. Somewhere we are going to finish here and go to Chua today. Now, but you see, these are the things Jesus was talking about. And now it is happening in your period, but you will not know it. Okay, let's go ahead. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Are we used to famines? By the way, famine is a big deal right now. And people do not realize it, that the amount of food production, and it's going to get worse. Because there are people who want to control the food. And they're already in control of the food. I told you about that. Of people who control 85% of the food production in the world. One man. 85%. That guy who is the husband of the Queen of England. And the scripture says they are going to cause a famine. Because that's why they want the control. And then people say, no. Okay, here is the scary thing. The man who controls 85% of the food right up from the top of the House of Windsor, that guy who recently retired from public life, called Prince Philip, 91, 92 years old, he said, this is what he said. He said that if he believed in reincarnation, he would want to come back as a killer virus so that he can reduce the population of this earth. And he controls the food. Does he need to come back as a virus? He doesn't. Now the Bible says it's going to happen. In the trumpets. Revelation 6:5. When he opened the third seal, I had the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. You know scales like you're measuring wheat. Eh? Then it says, and I had the voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. Now a denarius, if you read from the Bible, was the wages for one day. You remember the parable of the man who sent people to the vineyard? And he told him that I'll give you each a denarius for one day's work. Okay? So, in other words, so you go and work one day, and all you earn is 3/4 of a kilo of what? Of wheat. Because wheat is very expensive, and you have to feed. The number one need is food. Okay? So you come back home with 3/4 of a kilo of wheat. So where does that leave rent, fuel, water, and all the other things? Because food has to come first, right? Faster than fuel and all the other things. Now this is a symbol of like extreme famine. And 3/4 of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. And so you see, all these things are going to happen. And the people have been fighting for control and wrestling for control. And they have it. But then, of course, there's going to be another way that which in which God is going to look after us. Praise the Lord. And then, when it's becoming very bad, he takes us away. So just make sure I don't stay here. Praise the Lord. Because it will get bad, by the way. It's going to get bad. And I wish people would know. I wish people would know. Because you tell people these things and they start behaving as if you're interrupting their pleasure. There is no pleasure on this earth. Like you wait, you'll see. You have no control whatsoever. There is no control you have. Amen? The only control you have is in the Lord. Because people have plotted for all your future. I was seeing a summit in Europe, attended by Europeans. And the Europeans said the biggest threat to European civilization is the population of Africa. Because they are planning for all the resources we have. There is nothing. They don't have any resources. They come here, take the diamonds and what. So now, if Africans become many and start consuming those resources themselves, or if they become wiser and sell those resources at market value, then Europe becomes a third world. So they will come here with through NGOs and what, but it's all part of controlling, making sure that their civilization remains. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? So now, you who wants to, yeah, man, me, I want to get married and what? You stay. You stay, get married. We wish you the best. There's the only control. When you see the way the things are, I was listening to Bill Gates saying how we want to use vaccines to control population. And he's being put out there as a philanthropist. And some people, even preachers, are giving an example of how, you know, Bill Gates. The man is... How do they use vaccines to control population? Now, even in vaccination, the Lord help us. Everything they want to do, they pass it through vaccination because they have already trained the people to believe in everything. Every children under 5 years go for vaccination, then you take your child, then they vaccinate. Then what? Everything they want to do is through vaccination. And they have total control over it. They have vaccinated places, then Ebola breaks out. Previously, they vaccinated places in around here and HIV broke out. And the explanation for HIV is that it came from some monkey. The only problem is the people who live where the monkeys exist did not have HIV. They were 0% HIV. And the people who are living in urban centers where there are no monkeys are the ones who had HIV. Then you remember the Zika virus. That apparently it came from Uganda. But there is no one in Uganda who has it. Somehow it flew to Brazil. And you see, they are offering these explanations to reasonable people. And they are believing them. Complete lies. I think when somebody doesn't have Jesus Christ, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Like, things which are so clear that then even BBC was there in Entebbe. The origin of the Zika virus. How come nobody in Entebbe has it? But they throw these things, these explanations to the world, and the world believes them without any question. And I'm saying, maybe they don't believe them. They just have no choice. Praise the Lord. By the way, let me tell you, like the control, the plot, and the people who are planning the most wicked things are the ones who talk the most wonderful things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even in America, people are getting... What's that? This sickness cause which makes children retard? Autism. From vaccination. A healthy child, born healthy. Everything healthy. Then you take them for vaccination and the child becomes autistic. And it was there. It was clear cut. And there were clear testimonies. This. My child was okay until... But they denied them. I was hearing to the presidential debate when Trump was saying, but you people, how can you... He said some of the vaccines that are being put in children, even a horse would die from them. That's the world in which we live. Because there are people for whom this world is their home. And now, they are going to do everything to make sure they have control. I was listening to a guy called Elon Musk. You know Elon Musk? One of those top, entrepreneurs who are lifted up by the world. Saying that if our future does not involve being united with machines and somehow flying into to another space and something like that, then life is not worth living. So he's committed himself to that superhuman who is connected to a machine and the things that they are plotting to connect people. And it's not going to be for everybody, of course. at the start, but to all those people and the next level, and they call it the next level of evolution. Then he said, if I don't live to see us as some kind of celestial beings, then life is not worth living. Now you see, a believer who has a mansion in a place which is secure, of course, they are not going to be celestial beings. They won't be celestial beings in hell. That's where he's going to go. Okay, unless he repents. Eh? But now for you who has a sure future, you have all other issues. Your life is full of so many other things which you have to pursue. Eh? Now this guy, for him, is dying to see, you know, he's saying that is my life's purpose. It's almost like Jesus saying, my food is to do the will of my Father. You understand? Eh? Now for him is, now, but the children of the Lord, somehow there are things, there are so many other issues that are occupying them here on this very temporary world that doesn't even want you anyway. Now the Bible says in Isaiah 51 verse 6 that the earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. Okay? But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Let's read the whole verse. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look on the earth beneath. Okay? Where is the earth? Where are you? You are in heaven. Not that time now. Do you understand? Lift up your eyes to the heaven. Glory to God. To where? Okay, first leave that. Go to Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, at the right hand of God. Okay? Set your mind on things above, and not on things on the earth. So where are you? Where Christ is, above. Okay? That's where you are. So now, let's go back to the previous verse. Lift up your eyes, Isaiah 51 verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. That's where you belong. That's where you are. That's where your citizenship is. Okay? Paul says in Philippians, our citizenship is not of this world. But is of where? Go there. Philippians 3:20. Okay, 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven. So you're a citizen of heaven. Amen? Now, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the reason people don't eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the meantime, make sure as many people as possible, whom you can drag along to come and believe, also waiting for him. The reason they don't is because they see their citizenship as belonging to this earth. So everything they are planning is of this earth. Now, our citizenship, I'm a citizen of heaven. Okay? Now, let's go back to the other one. Lift up your eyes to the heavens where you belong, where your citizenship is, and look on the earth beneath. For the people who belong there, like Elon Musk, okay, on the earth. For you, you are where? In heaven. So you're looking down on him. You're not looking up to him. The problem is believers are looking up to people like that instead of looking down on them. And that means everything else, everything it means. So you're supposed to look down on those. For you, your citizenship is in heaven. No, you look down upon those on earth. Okay? Beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment. Now, these heavens, it means the space where that guy wants to live and says he lives for the moment where we are. Okay, some kind of celestial beings. Will vanish away like smoke, and the earth will grow old like a garment. Now, you cannot change the fact that God manufactured this earth to last a certain period of time. And when that time comes, the earth cannot sustain itself. Now, even if they say climate change, over reduce carbon emissions and what, the earth will grow old like a garment. Even if, no matter what you do, a cloth will grow old. You cannot make it last forever. Amen? That's just the way it is. Clothes were not made to last forever. Garments were not made to last forever. You will have to buy another shirt. You cannot wear that one forever. Now, that's how the earth is. And they will try to do what? You know, reduce population. What? You know, to make sure the earth lasts. It is not. They did not make it. The person who made it gave it a time limit. Just like a car the people manufacture it, give it a time limit. Now, if you drive it after its time limit, like most of you, then it starts becoming erratic. You park it today, you go to park it where in the garage, in the morning it can't start. Then you have to call the mechanic. Because it has lasted its time. It has done its time. And it was made for a certain time. Now, if you bought a new car, you would know if I park it, I will start it tomorrow and drive. But now you can't. Now, everything has... Now, God says clearly, He made this earth for a time. It has its time frame. Now, when it starts having climates like the one we have, now we know the time is almost up. It's like an old car. It's telling you time up. Buy another one. Amen? Time up. Buy another one. This one is tired. Now the earth is tired. There is nothing they are going to do to me. So you can take it to Katwe and do what, but it is tired. Okay. And those who dwell in it will die in a like manner. Like that. Those who choose to dwell there. But my salvation will be forever. So now your assurance is that this earth, when this earth retires and it is put away, because its time is up, your salvation lasts how long? Lasts how long? Now, that is the assurance, and my righteousness will not be abolished. In other words, you stand on a sure, solid foundation. Now, those who are living to be some kind of beings, they are connected to computers and what? You wish them luck. Look down on them. Let them look up to you, who is in the heaven. Who is in heaven, not the heavens, heaven. Amen? Where your citizenship is. Now, we have a sure thing. Now, what we'll do is we are going to tell people we are living in the last of the last days. Now, we know that. And now we are not going to sit back and start behaving as if we also have all our hope in this earth. That's not how it is. And the purpose of all this thing, you see, now I'll end with this. The trouble is when I started teaching any time way back, people get excited about information, what, you know, this, do you know what they are doing and what and what. Nothing of that helps unless it yields a specific purpose in you to go and do something. Do you understand? Information without action is useless. It's like knowing how 5 steps of being rich and you stay there and you're poor. At least without trying to appropriate those steps. So, all this information, and I know so many people who started with the watchman and they got caught up in that information thing. And their lives have not changed at all. They have not used this information to say, now what can I do in my workplace to make sure that people know these things? What can I do in the school? What can I do in university? What can I do in this place? How can I make this thing go across? Because if you see a place on fire, would you just keep quiet when there are people whom you can save? As the earth is, red hot planet. Some newspaper called it the red hot planet. That's what it is from the pictures I showed you. Now, so I know people are caught up in information. Some of them even send me, you know, things they've seen. Have you seen this? Jello confessed to selling her soul to the devil. Over what? Now, what benefit is that to me? Like, they fail to see that all this is the word of God and it is aimed at creating an urgency in you to make you do something about it, not just to know and go and win arguments in a bar or somewhere. Okay, not in a bar. And sound knowledgeable. Well, Matthew 24, go back to where we were. Famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Remember what I told you, the birth pangs? The beginning of birth pangs, okay? And they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And by the way, I'm just telling you this whole delivering up. You have no idea what is coming and what is in some places. But I'm so glad that God has given us, at least in a bit in the world, some respite. Because this week also, so many things were happening this week. This week also, there was a conference in America attended by 80 countries, people from 80 countries, talking about religious freedom and freedom of worship. What they are doing is they are kicking back against the homosexuals who put the freedom to do their things ahead of religious liberty. So when somebody refuses to serve homosexuals, maybe like a couple or like a wedding, homosexual wedding, and they come to somebody who does services of weddings and you refuse to serve them, they sue you and then they fine you a lot of money for discrimination, and then your business collapses And now homosexuals were doing that on purpose. They know that this one wouldn't mind, this one wouldn't mind. But they will go to the Christians who they know will mind. And if you dare say no, they sue you. But you see now that was turned around when they ruled that actually freedom of religious conscience is fundamental human right and same-sex marriage is not fundamental. So you cannot trump religious conviction because you want to do your same-sex thing. But you see, under Obama, all those things had passed. Now I'm telling you, the world would be a totally different place if Hillary Clinton had been president. You have no idea. You have no idea. In a country like ours where anything passes, now there is a sect of Muslims who are constructing some kind of mosque somewhere around Muyenga, Bukasa. Some guys with long beards, they must be from Afghanistan or somewhere. They look dangerous chaps. Eh? But you know, in this country, people come and do anything. Now, if you say I'm putting up a church there, you will see. They will fight you in a Christian country like Uganda. But for them, they will come and put up something powerful and nobody says anything. Then now it's Gandhi Memorial. Now what? Like, so you just pray that God does, because they would, now in that time, they were in schools. You see what we are doing in schools right now, preaching the gospel. There were guys there going book clubs, reading, you know, teaching reads and what, and they were spreading homosexuality. So thank God the country which was giving them the most money now has somebody who does not give money for things like that. So somehow we survived because of that guy. Because he cut off all that funding, all of it. All of it, those are the first things he cut off, chopped off all of them. And he's moving headstrong, by the way, going against those guys. So, but if now those the people of that country prayed and God gave them their guy. Amen? Now we are going to pray and we also get somebody like that. So that guys don't come here and start joggering us here. Like real kujoggering us. And even want to bury your head somewhere. Do you know what Gandhi thought about black people? You go and read. He was a racist man who had the worst things to say about black people. But now we are having a Gandhi memorial in Jinja, the source of the Nile. Imagine God gives us the source of the Nile and we hand it over to India. So we are also going to get our man. Praise the Lord. And by the way, pray for your nation that we get our man, somebody whom you can look and say, now that one is a president who is after the heart of God, who is going to do the things of God. Amen? But you see, some of you had been blown away by the media and what, and you don't know there is a battle of good and evil. And it is so clear. So clear cut. So you've been hated by all nations for my name's sake. That is going to happen whether you like it or not. If you are winning a battle of popularity, if you think that you're going to be popular because of the things you do, because I mean, like you have signed up in the wrong army. I'm telling you, you're going to see. If they can spoil your reputation, they will do it. If they can do anything to you, they will do it. So you have to sign up to know that the only person I want to please is the Lord. Now, if anybody is angry with me because I'm pleasing the Lord, that is their business. They are not the ones who will be seated on the throne when I go there. Because they try to make, you know, and you see, I see people, well-meaning people, and they really, really are scared of putting their foot forward to say what it is they stand for. Because they are scared that people, now seeing the other day, even in Christianity, now seeing today I was reading in a Charisma newspaper, and a Baptist pastor came out after 20 years and said, me, I speak in tongues. But, you know, he has been pretending not to speak in tongues for 20 years because he was trying to please some people who have decided to stay backwards. Now, if you are getting persecution from fellow believers and you're hiding away from them, how will you do when you... Now that reminds me of a video of some Nigerian guy. Man, it was shocking. Top minister. Top minister. He was cornered by Muslims. I think he said something about... Now he was cornered. I don't know how that happened. I'm talking about a top Nigerian minister. They cornered him.
And you see the sheikh guy is there seated like this, crossed their leg looking at him. And the guy said, no, you know, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, and what? He says, for me, I admire your religion and what? And I was looking and saying, what? Okay, it was very, very shocking. Shocking, shocking, shocking. I said, so just a few Muslims surround you like this and you can't stand for Christ? What's the worst thing they can do to you? Kill you, right? And send you to heaven earlier. Okay, you wait, but it's going to become tough. Now, I hope some of you, like, harden yourself and say, like, the worst thing you can do is kill me. But that's just sending me to heaven earlier than I would have gone. My mansion is there waiting. I'm here even. The cappuccino is no longer sweet, what? The one that side is better, eh? So, if you kill me, you kill me. What's the worst thing? So, you see, you have to come to this point where... And then the thing is this. When you put that on, they cannot kill you. Because Jesus said that not even a sparrow falls down without the permission of his heavenly Father. Not even a sparrow. He said, how much more are you? Even your hair is numbered. So you see, when you get out of the fear, then they can't do anything. Unless, but you see, you go and watch that video. You will see. Man, they subdued the guy. A top general, and the guy, Allah, over what? May I believe Allah is, you know, Allah is over what? You know, for us, I even teach our people to follow your reading. Okay, it was bad. It was bad. And I really don't mean to, you know, because you never know what Mudiro people are under. But the truth is that thing was terrible. It just looked bad. You go and YouTube it, you'll see. Anyway, okay, you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That has to happen whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. People who do things demonic ways are celebrated. Completely celebrated. People who do things the godly way are persecuted. Now, there's a Chigai in the UK. He even has a program on Discovery. You know who does supernatural things? You know him, eh? The other day, the guy had a conference in London where he was going to demonstrate the supernatural. People were paying over £3,000. To enter. The arena was packed with over close to, I think, 15,000 or so people. They were each paying £3,000 or something like that to enter. The guy vanishes, comes from here, then you see him the other side. And the guy wants to do everything which Jesus did as a form of a mockery. So he's multiplied bread and fish. He does all those things. He's walked on water. He's actually walked on water. It's there on YouTube, on the River Thames. But because he uses demonic powers to do that, he's celebrated. He's always among top celebrities. Now you come out and do those things using the powers of the Holy Spirit. The first people to attack you will be believers. They will come for you. Eh? Before even the world does, the believers will come for you. Like, I've never really understood that, by the way. But anyway, let's go ahead. But... So you'll be nice. Let's go ahead. The next verse. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. What I've just been saying, right? They will be offended. They are offended by what you can do and they cannot do. And that's just it. You can do it, they can't do it. So they're offended. Okay, let's stop there. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord is directing me to pray for issues of manhood issues, eh? Manhood issues of, you know, those things. So if any issues in that area, if you're one such person, just receive your healing. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you make all things new. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. You make all things new in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And you cause normal function in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, because you cause normal function. Remesika brazintala bashokro brozaya la bakrasito roshinda brazintala batsde. Romorazite. Father, I thank you for promotions, for jobs. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for promotions, for jobs, for travel. Somebody who is believing God for travel, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, I bless your name, O Father. I thank you for businesses that pop up, and even dominion. I thank you for increase in business in the name of Jesus.
for new ideas that are cropping up here in the name of Jesus. I thank you because your children connect and they do not remain the same. They connect to this and they do not remain the same. I thank you, Father, because we are an army of watchmen, watchers who will stand and speak to the church and to the world and tell them that the Lord Jesus is returning soon. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because you have sharpened us for this purpose and you have called us for this purpose and you arm us and you equip us. Thank you, Father, because we do not remain the same. We thank you, Father, for increase in our finances. We thank you because our finances increase. I thank you because you enlarge our scope. You enlarge our boundaries. You enlarge our boundaries in the name of Jesus. And we become bigger. We expand, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we spread out and spread out with your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because it is done. Because it is done. It is done. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.